Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Tet Vav. Let us begin, just go over again on the third line up from the bottom, so we'll remember the beginning of the machlokas that we're about to get into. Heicha Deleka Elachasa. This is on Kuf Yodal and Amud Beit. So what if you only have a vegetable that is ra'ui for moror, which we're referring to as chasa because the preferred moror, as we're going to see, the top of the list is the lettuce. So what if you only have lettuce, meaning only something that's right for moror? What do you do? Omer Avuna, mevarech mikara amoror borei pri ha'adama va'achel. Well, you make a bracha on the moror, and that's borei pri ha'adama. And then you eat that. And then later, when you get to the moror after the matzah, then you make the other bracha of al achilat moror, because basically Rav Huna apparently holds like Reish Lakish that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, and therefore there's no problem. You're not being yotzei here with your moror, because even though it is moror, but you're not eating it for moror. Bat kitla. So today's gemara begins with this. Rav Chista didn't like this at all. Matkiv la Rav Chista. Rav Chista attacks him on this and says, does this make sense to you? That le'achar shimilei kreiso emenu, chozeru mevarech ale, I understand. The guy has been eating this lettuce all night, you know, and now he's coming around and he's going to say the brocha of the mora. I mean, that doesn't seem right to me. Now, what exactly does Rav Chista mean? I mean, what do you mean, doesn't seem right to me? I mean, Lechora, I mean, if Rav Chista agrees, let's take a look. What does Rav Chista hold when it comes to the issue of mitzvah tzrichas kavana? I mean, if Rav Chista did not agree with Rav Huna, or with Reish Lakish, in other words, and he would say that actually mitzvahs don't need kavana, so then this whole thing would fall apart. Because then what Rav Chista should have said is that, how could you make the bracha later if you're to bracha levatala? You were already yotzei your chiyav earlier. So how are you making a bracha 2 hours later? I don't understand. Isn't that what he should have said? It must be that Rav Chista is made, says Tosfos, that you were not yotzei the bracha originally, because he agrees with Rav Huna and he agrees with Reish Lakish that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. And therefore, it's not that the problem is that you were already yotzei v'chiyah. The point that Reish Lakish is making sounds to be something of a strange point. He's saying that even though you were only eating this moror as a vegetable, it doesn't seem right that you should wait until the end of the meal to make the bracha on it for the mitzvah. I mean, so why is that? Why would that be true? So clearly, the way that Tosfos looks at it is like this. If be'etzem, you're eating moror, it's true that you're not being yotzei your moror at this point, because mitzvah's trichot kavanan, this is not the place where you'd like to be yotzei the mitzvah l'chatchila. But the fact is that you have been eating moror. And at the end of the day, let's say that you had a little bit of moror, wasn't enough to be yotzei the chiyav, and you'd be eating some moror. And then later on, you're going to be getting more moror. So would it not be true that the beginning of your esek, at least in the overall mitzvah of moror, is going to be from the beginning? I mean, look, the bottom line is that when you get to the moror at the end, after you eat the matzah, you're not going to be looking at something new all of a sudden. You're going to be looking at being able to be mekayim the chiyav at the right time of this something new. Let's take an example, says Tosfos, on Rosh Hashanah, where you're going to be doing the tekiyas. The main tekiyas that you're supposed to be yotzei with are the tekiyas that are coming together with Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofarot. Nachon? That's where we learn it out from. Al Yedei Ma, Al Yedei Shofar. So then that means that the real tekiyas are the tekiyas that are being done in the Musaf of the Chazaras Hashatz, depending on your minhag, or together with everybody as you're davening the Shemone Esrei, when, I shouldn't say Shemone Esrei, that's an art scroll term, the Amida, when you're saying it together with everybody. But the point is that we make the bracha earlier. Why do we make the bracha earlier? Why don't we make the bracha on the Iker Shofar? Because the point is that we're already introducing the shofar. We're being Isaac in the shofar. Well, you have at least that kind of issue over here. It seems very inappropriate, says Rav Chisda, to take all of the novelty of the mora that you're involved in, which is going to be the chi of gomor in another hour or two, and to just eat it without thinking about it, and only then to start thinking about the mora at the end. Because of that, Rav Chisda tainas, that Ella Amrev Chisto, what are you going to tell me? First, you fill up your belly with it, you know, and then later on, you're going to all of a sudden make a bracha. It's not right. Ella Amrev Chisto mi ikaram avarech alei habari pri adam and alachilas mar. Then you eat it, but you don't eat it the shame the mitzvah of mar. And at the end, you're going to eat it as achilat chasa for the mar, but without any bracha at all, because you were already yotze both of your brachas when you ate it before. So, Taina's Rav Chisda. This is the way that Tosfos understands the sugya. Okay, there are those, like the Rashba, who learns that according to Rav Chisda, actually, he argues on Reish Lakish, and he holds that you don't say that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, and because of that, you're basically going to have to make the bracha now because you really are being yotze. And he doesn't hold that there's this problem that Tosfos insists that would make it a bracha levatola mamish if you say it later on, because it's still being Isaac in that mitzvah. And in the same way that when you make a bracha, let's say you didn't make the bracha early enough, and you're still being Isaac in that mitzvah. So you're allowed to continue to make the bracha as long as you have something still to do with the mitzvah. So Rav Chisda is not worried about the problem of it's being a bracha levatola, but he's outraged at the fact that you would have already been yotzi your mitzvah and wouldn't have made the bracha up front. That's a completely different approach. So again, either Rav Chisda holds like Reish Lakish, like Rav Huna, and he only holds this new idea of how inappropriate it is to make a bracha on a mitzvah after you've already been osik in that same substance, or on the contrary. Actually, Rav Chisda holds your yotze now because mitzvah's lo tzrichas kavana, he argues with Rav Huna, and he argues with Reish Lakish, and therefore he's insisting that you must make the bracha at the time that bring yotze the mor, which is at the very beginning. Okay. So we have, therefore, two very different approaches of what we would do. Of course, this is only nogea where you are stuck and you've only got morer to eat for your karpas. Anybody who's got something else, as we'll see, just avoid the problem by eating something else. So in Surya, they did like Rav Huna. Rav Sheshes Breda Rav Yoshua did like Rav Chisda. The halacha is like Rav Chisda, and in fact, Rav Acha Brei de Rava used to go out of his way to make sure that he would not be stuck and need to use a moror substance, like a lettuce, for his karpas. Because when we say karpas, of course, we're referring to something different than the vegetable. We're referring to the idea of karpas, right? Like we use in the simonim for the Seder. The actual meaning of karpas and what it meant all along was the name of the vegetable. But anyway, he would make sure that he had something, potatoes or actual karpas, and therefore he wouldn't get involved in the problem. So he was mahadar ashar yirakot lafuki nafshi biplukta. He didn't want to get involved in this because he wouldn't know when to make the bracha on the morar, whether he should follow like Rav Chisda or whether he should follow Rav Huna. So he did as we do. We use something like potatoes at the beginning, and we also dip those potatoes into something other than the, specifically, some learn medavka not. Others learn you don't have to, as we mentioned yesterday, in the Haroset. According to the Rambam, you medavka do, so we had three completely different approaches. And so they would do what we do to avoid the problem of the bracha. Omar Avina, Omar Li Rav Misharsha Bereda Rav Nasan, Hochi Omar Hillel Mishmei de Gemara. Now, this is going to be a little bit confusing because it's the opposite of what we say the name of Hillel later on, and we say it in our Haggadah, but that's because it's not the same Hillel. We're not talking here about Hillel HaZaken We're talking about Hillel the Amora, who is saying that you have to be careful not to make a sandwich. And the reason was that this is not because of being concerned for the plagiarism suit by the Earl of Sandwich. Can you imagine these chutzpanyaks who claim that the sandwich was invented by some idiotic Englishman for doing his gambling? When we know the real mucker of sandwich is from the Beis HaMikdash. So what was the Hillel, this Hillel, telling us? He's pointing out, says this younger Hillel, this more recent version of Hillel, he's pointing out that nowadays, for sure, do not make a sandwich. Because if you make a sandwich nowadays, you're not going to be yotzei. Hochi Omar Hillel Mishmeide Gemara, he was Mekabalus from his Rabbein. Lo nichrochin hashmatza umorah b'hadei atodim v'necha. Be very careful not to put matzah and morah together in a sandwich to eat it. Why? Because if you hold that matzah b'zman hazeh is d'oraita, as we've been assuming up until now, and morah b'zman hazeh is only d'rabbanan, we're going to be getting later into an analysis of the psukim to see why they're different. So then the morah, which is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, is going to be mevatel the matzah d'oraita. Because now you're inserting some foreign substance that is not a mitzvah and that does not belong here together with your matzah. And that is going to end up being mevatel your matzah because you're overwhelming it with the morah. Even though there is a shita that says that mitzvot are not mevatel one another, as we'll see in a moment, that would only be two mitzvot d'oraita. So if you eat two things that are a mitzvah d'oraita to eat, let's say the matzah and the morah would both be a chiyuv, so then that would be okay because each one is choshev and one is not mevatel the other. This is something like the halacha of trei koli lo mishtamoy. You do not hear two kolot. But if those two kolot, and therefore you won't be yotzei either. But if those two kolot are chavivot, the Gemara says, each one remains separate. This is true legabe here as well. Since they're two completely different tastes, so therefore one is we going to be mevatel the other unless both of them are on the same level of chashivas. So if you have a d'oraita and another d'oraita, or a d'rabbanan and another d'rabbanan, yes, then they're not mevatel one the other. But in this case, since we paskin that matzah b'zman hazeh is d'oraita, be'erev tochlu matzot, you'll recall we spoke about earlier, and for morah we do not have any such indication, and therefore the morah remains only a d'rabbanan b'zman hazeh. So if you make a sandwich, you're going to now, coming along, the d'rabbanan morah will be mevatel the mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah. Who is this Tana that holds mitzvot ein mevatlot zo et zo? Well, that's Hillel. Of course, not this Hillel, the other Hillel. Because, after all, doesn't Hillel say you have to make a sandwich? So how could Hillel say you have to make a sandwich if mitzvot would be mevatlot zo et zo? Of course, when Hillel made his sandwich, all the ingredients of his sandwich were d'oraita. That's a different issue, says Hillel the younger. I'm talking about bizman hazeh. However, even according to that very special Mandi Omar, who says that mitzvahs are not mevatlot, namely Hillel, then it would still be only true at that time, not bizman hazeh. Titania amru alav al Hillel, they say that Hillel would dafka make a sandwich, and was korech, he would wrap the bepashtis, it's referring to the meat of the Korban Pesach, together with the matzah and the morah, although I must tell you that even though that's the way that we say it, and we talk about in the Haggadah, Hoyakorech Pesach Matzah Umorah, there is a girsa that only has Matzah Umorah, not the Pesach, and actually the Rambam does not bring the Pesach. He only brings Matzah Umorah in the Haggadah. So that's something to think about. But in any event, he would take all of his ingredients and eat them together. Shene'emar al Matzot Umorim Yochluhu. So we see from here that Hillel had no problem with separate mitzvahs, with very separate tastes, nonetheless all being eaten together. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, I just want you to know that this is by no means something that everybody agrees to. I mean, there is really a machlokas about whether you're allowed to do this. Not just about whether you need to do this, whether you ought to do this. And that's because chokin alav chaverav al Hillel, you should know that the Rabbanan at Hillel's time, they held that you need to eat it separately. You're not yotzi if you eat it together. And this is the Braita. You might think that you're supposed to make a sandwich and eat them the way that Hillel ate them. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Amatzot Umrorim Yochlu. Now, there's a little bit of a problem over here, and that is that these psukim have got a little mixed up in the Gemara, as I'll explain to you in a moment. But Yochlu Hu, what does Yochlu Hu mean? On its own. Afilu ze bifnei atzmo, ze bifnei atzmo. Now, first of all, obviously what's bothering you is what the Gemara is going to ask in a minute. It doesn't say here you can't. It just says you don't have to. It says afilu. You said that the friends of Hillel argued on him, and that said you're not allowed to. That's not what it says over here. It says you don't have to. So this seems to represent some midway point. And as the Gemara points out now, maskev for Rav Ashi, excuse me, then why does it say afilu? Even by itself. Now that certainly tells me that I for sure am yotzei if I eat them together. I just don't have to, and I'm yotzei even if I don't eat them together, right? Now that's not what you said, Rabbi Yochanan. What Rabbi Yochanan says is that they argue and they say you can't eat it this way. So therefore, this has got to be yet a third approach. Now let's get back to the pasuk that was quoted. The pasuk that Hillel brought is this pasuk, Amatzot Umrorim Yochluhu. However, there is another pasuk in which the Yochluhu is basically a different concept. And I'll tell you why. Because in Bo, note what it says over there. V'achlu et habasar balayla hazeh tzli esh umatzot al merorim yochluhu. Not al matzot umrorim, but matzot al merorim yochluhu. Now, over here, the beginning of the pasuk is the achlu et habasar balayla, right? So why is it necessary to say again, yochluhu? All you need to say is yochlu, because it opens with the words, eat the basar balayla hazeh tzli esh matzot al merorim. Isn't that enough? Why do I have to say eat it? Because the point over here is that we're being doresh this it. This is a different pasuk, not the pasuk that Hillel brought before. Because in the pasuk that we brought before, it doesn't say to eat the meat. There it's talking about the Pesach Sheni. And there it says, B'chodesh Hasheni, B'arba'a asar yom bein arba'im, Ya'asu oto. It doesn't say anything about eating it. It says Ya'asu oto. And then it adds, Amatzot Umrorim Yochluhu. Well, over there, of course it has to say Yochluhu, because it never mentioned eating until that, at all. So you can't prove anything from that pasuk. From the pasuk in Bo, the words Yochluhu is indeed extra. And that's what we're being dorish over here. Why does it say eat it? Eat it must mean each one individually. Nonetheless, as Rav Ashi points out, as the Rashbam understands it, look, I'm not disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan obviously had this as a Kabbalah, but it should not say Kidetanya, because this Braita does not imply what Rabbi Yochanan said. This Braita implies yet a third Shita. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Hai Tana, the Tana of this Braita is saying like this, Ochigatan. You might think that you have no choice, and you will not be yotze unless you wrap them all together like Hillel. That would be a mistake. Talmud Lomar, Amatzot Umrorim Yochluhu. Therefore, we have the pasuk that stresses yochluhu, which tells me afilu ze bifnei atzmo, v'ze bifnei atzmo, and therefore this is a shita that is telling me it isn't absolutely necessary to do it in that fashion. So again, whether this is the correct gear set, that's another problem. Is it because it says al matzot u'merorim? Apparently not. And it should say matzot al merorim, yochluhu, to be the posek in bo. Anyway, so now we've got three different shitas, the way the Rashbam understands it. We have Hillel, who says you've got to eat it as a sandwich. We have the Tan of this Braita, who says you may eat it as a sandwich. And then we've got Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Chaverim of Hillel held that you're not allowed to eat it as a sandwich. So hashted lo itmar yochata, lo ki Hillel v'lo ki Rabbanan. So now, basically, we do not have a psak over here, and we can't say that we're going to go according to the Rabbim between Hillel and the Rabbanan, because we also have that other Braisa that argue on those Rabbanan. So who do we paskin like? Since we don't have a psak, what we should do is make sure that we're yotzei both shitas. Therefore, first we make a brocha on achilas matzah, and we eat the matzah all by itself to make sure that we would definitely be yotzei, according to the Rabbanan, matzah without anything else. Now, then we go ahead and we make a brocha on achilas morah, and then we eat the morah, again, by itself, and that way we don't have anything with it. Now, the reason we need to eat the morah by itself is because at that point, if we ate the morah together with the matzah would be mevatel the morah, because the matzah at that point is reshus. It's not a mitzvah. And the morah is a mitzvah min rabbanan. So you wouldn't be yotzei. Therefore, we have to have separate morah. And then you eat the matzah and the morah together, without making a bracha, you already made the brachas, and that you do zecher l'migdash kehela. Why? Because that you have a mitzvah derabbanan, which is the mitzvah of zecher l'migdash. Both of those ta'amim are ta'amei mitzvah derabbanan, and therefore they're not mevatlim, zetzeh. So now, everything would work out according to the original Hillel, according to the second Hillel, and according to the three shitot that we have about how it is that we're supposed to be eating. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rav Oshaya. The question now is, what do we do about washing? We've skipped over the whole washing business, right? Because as far as the Gemara is talking, we're only talking about the inyonim of the mitzvah of the achilah of the Seder. But now, if you have to dip your food, and it talks about tibul, we run into a problem. And what's that problem? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rav Oshaya. Anytime that you have a food that we're going to put into water or into one of the Shiva Mashkin, you are going to have to wash your hands before you are going to be allowed to eat it. So remember, this is a very complex sugya. The reason that it's complex is because we need to go back to the original takana of Netilas Yadayim. The overall Netilas Yadayim that we do, of course, on bread. So why do we do that? So let's just remember we have a very special halacha, which is called the Din of Stam Yadayim. Stam Yadayim mean that the Rabbanan made a takana that you'll remember from back in Masechet Shabbat, that because of the fact that hands are generally moving all over the place, as the recent experience with Corona has taught us, and that's called Yadayim Askaniotem. Your hands get into everything, and they keep touching your face, and they keep touching your food, and God knows what else. So because of that, the Rabbanan said, look, if your hands will touch Truma, they will passel the Truma. So that is called Yadayim Shniot, Stam Yadayim. Remember that even though Chulin is not sensitive to be Mekabel Tuma from a Sheni Betuma, but Truma is sensitive to be Nifsal, meaning that it itself becomes inedible if it touches something that is a Sheni Betuma. So therefore, since the norm of Truma is in the form of bread, so because of that, in order to avoid eating anything that was similar to that truma. So the Chachamim made that you should be makpid not to eat. It used to be, and here's where we get into the problem. It used to be that many, many people were makpid to eat even chulin b'taira as if it were actual truma, or as if it were actually kachim. Now, that's no longer relevant, because we are all considered to be tamei mesim. Therefore, we cannot do that. So now what Rav Hoshaya is saying is something else. And that is, there's also a halacha that once you have yadayim that are shniyos, the halacha is that anything that pasos truma is going to make a mashkin a rishon. And that's because of another gezeira that the Rabbanan made, and that is that any kind of liquid can be easily confused, first of all, people will think that it's tar because it hasn't touched tumah. If you have a foodstuff that's like that, that's not so bad, because the fact is that a food will not be makabel tumah by touching it unless it was first mukshar lekabel tumah. So it has to come in contact with a liquid. But an actual liquid is going to be makabel tumah directly, even from something, in this case, that's a derabbanan, because it normally would not be able to be matame. It's only a sheni, and sheni does not have any impact on chulin. But in the case of a liquid of chulin, it does. And remember that we have a problem with liquids, because there are liquids that can be matame things, and that would be things that would, let's say, urine or other liquids from the body that are from someone who is tame in a way that is matame ma'ayanot. Because of that, we have many chumras that have to do with this idea. So because chulin can be mekabel tuma from a rishon letuma, and it can become a sheni, the mashkin, which are a rishon letuma, if they would be touched by my hands that were stam yadayim, unwashed, would therefore be a rishon, and it would be metami, the food that I'm eating, even if that food is chulin. So what's wrong with that? Here's where we run into the question. Tosfos says, nothing's wrong with that. The only reason that this is an issue, Bichlal, is because since the Rabbanan made originally a takana not to eat your food, mamish betuma, so then even though nowadays where everybody is tummy and you can't possibly avoid eating your food, betuma, there's no need, Bichlal, to worry about this at all. So says Tosfos. And therefore, there was never a takana that the Rabbanan made to wash your hands just because you're eating something that is liquid. Because of that, Tosfos says, in this case, and here's where we get the idea, do not make a bracha. So Tosfos says, I see in all of the Haggadahs it says, wash your hands and make a bracha. That's a mistake, says Tosfos. It should say, if you're going to wash your hands, don't make a bracha, because we don't have any reason to make a bracha, because there was no takana. This is only a din in the, just basically remembering the issues, but it's not really a takana. Now, many Rishonim disagree with this, and as you well know, the Gra Paskin's not like this, and they hold that exactly the same way that the Rabbanim made a takana to wash for bread. Why do we wash for bread where we don't have anything wet? Because over there, truma is mekabel psul from a sheni, and normal truma was bread. So because of that, we made a takana, all bread, let's treat lechumra. But since chulin, which is mekabel tuma from a sheni, is also just as able to be mekabel tuma from wet hands because of the takana derabbanan of anything that passes truma, namely stam yadayim, makes mashkin liyos rishain. So then because of that, we have exactly the same takana as you have for netilat yadayim on bread, you have for netilat yadayim on even chulin. What's the difference? In the same way, I understand that the normal bread, even if it's dry, is a takana because of truma. Over here, wet chulin is exactly the same takana for dry truma. So I don't understand why it should be different. because of that. It has nothing to do with the takana, as Tosva says, of eat your chulin b'taira, which is no longer nogea. No. It has to do with the mitzvah of netilat yadayim on lechem. So because of this machlokas, basically the psak halacha that's in the Shulchan Aruch is make your netilas yadayim properly. However, do not make the bracha because it's a suffix bracha, since the shitat ha-tosafot is that there is no takana of netilas yadayim on liquids. So you understand what we're dealing with over here. That is quite complex to explain to the people around your Seder table. But the bottom line is that according to the Gra, this is basically netilas yadayim for challah. It's exactly the same. It has the same chumras. And because of that, certainly you should not be mafsik between, because the din of the hafsaka is not a din in the bracha alone. It's also a din in the fact that the netila has to be without a hafsik to the achila. So therefore, even though people are generally very, okay, fine, we'll wash our hands for the fruit. And that's because they've gotten used to being very makel in eating fruit, which there's no heter for. To be mekel. People are mekel all year round where they should not be, and therefore they're mezalzel in this netila in the Haganah. But the fact is, it is absolutely usur to eat wet fruit. You cannot eat with wet hands without doing the tilat yadayim. So either you've got to wipe off the fruit or you've got to wash your hands with a real netilas yadayim. Except that there's this issue that the Shulchan Aruch says if you don't, you're not a Talmud of the Gra. So then you follow the Shulchan Aruch who says not to make the bracha. So this is what we get into now. So says Reb Elazar, Amar Reb Hoshaya, look, anything that's going to be wet, you're going to need netilat yadayim. So as we have profound machlokas, why? Amar Reb Papa. So Reb Papa says, now look, I mean, if what he's talking about over here is about our Mishnah, he didn't just say this halacha, he said, since the Mishnah says, dip your lettuce into your dip, you're going to have to wash for it. Shmamina says, Rav Papa, well, what that must mean is that when you have the lettuce, you have to really dip it all the way in. You can't just get a little bit of the end into it, because it would mean that Tzarech l'shakui b'charos, you got to like really put it all the way in, immerse it deep into your charoset. Why would that be? That would be mishum kappa. It would be because of the kappa. Now, what the kappa is a machlokas. There are some who understand kappa to mean, as Rashi does, a chemical. And it's a distressing chemical that is a poison, and it could cause you stomach upset and so on. And the way to get rid of the impact of this chemical is to have it dipped into charoset, which cancels its effect. Now, the other Rishonim learn that the kappa is actually a worm, and it's a poisonous worm if you swallow it alive. Therefore, what you want to do is you want to kill the worm. And they learn that it's an actual worm. So you'll ask, so if it's an actual worm, how am I allowed to eat the maror if it's got worms in it? Well, the truth is that there's a big machlokas in Chulin, which I'm sure you'll recall, about whether worms that grow in the lettuce or in a fruit are considered to be usur, or are they part of the fruit itself, in the same way that worms that are growing in water that have never stepped on the side, you're allowed to simply swallow them. So that's a machlokas. Now, if we're going according to the Mandi Armor, who says that there's no issue of eating those worms, so fine, then obviously there's no problem. The problem would be according to Shmuel. Shmuel argues in Chulin and says that those worms, if they're growing in the vegetable as it's growing on the ground, then they are considered to be sheretz al haaretz, because they also grew on the ground. So then if that's the case, how would you eat the worm? So Tosis explains that, look, these worms are not found in most lettuces. And Shmuel says, therefore, okay, I don't have to worry about the worm. Now, Tosis says, maybe he'll say, because Shmuel checked all of his lettuce and there were no worms. No, says Tosfos. Because if Shmuel checked all of the letters and there was no worms, then why do you need the charoset? So obviously, that's not what we're talking about. Okay, so then he's using the lettuce without checking the lettuce. Okay, but then how is he allowed to eat if there's worms? So most of the time, there's no worms. So therefore, if it's nogea, just a halacha about eating worms, you go according to the rov. But if it's nogea, something being unhealthy, you can't rely on a rov because that's only a halacha issue. But unhealthiness has to do with realities, not with halachas, and you can't paskin them on the basis of rov. You don't have a right to risk your health on the basis of rov. And therefore, when it comes to the health issue, you'll have to dip the worm into charoset. That's how Tosfos understands it, according to Shmuel, which is most edifying in terms of its overall ambience, you must admit. So anyway, so continuing on. It would appear, therefore, that you really got to soak it in. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Look, it's possible that you don't have to really soak it all the way in. And it could be that the kappa dies from the smell. Now, dies from the smell obviously sounds like a living thing. But remember that we often use dying from something as a metaphor, right? Like the palm tree that was killed or murdered or whatever. So, okay, so over here, the kappa, which is the chemical, it dies, meaning it loses its power just from the smell of the charoset. It does not have to be totally immersed in the charoset because there's enough molecules of the charoset issue that will affect it. Could be that the only reason Rav Hoshaya said you got to make sure that you wash your hands is because, look, Dilma Meshakule. I mean, you can't tell a person to be very, very careful and make sure that he doesn't get to the part that's wet and so on. That's the point. So Rav Hoshaya is saying, look, I mean, once you're going to do this, so then make sure that you're not in a position where you may end up wrecking it because you're going to touch it. And that way, we want you to make Netilas Yadayim. So we don't have a riot. Now, Amr of Papa, another thing, once I'm telling you about the charoset, there's another issue. Even if you do have to soak the moror in the charoset, only put it in for a moment. Don't let it sit there, because lo nishe inish moror b'charoset. The charoset is not only going to affect your kappa, it's going to affect the taste of the lettuce. Now, the whole point of moror is that it's supposed to be moror. So it has to have that acid aftertaste, whereas if you're going to soak it in the charoset, it's just going to taste sweet. And Dilma Agav Chalye de Tavlin, because you've got all of these nice spices, we're going to see, it's really not poshet that you're putting spices, and that's really a machlokas. Some do not have the girsa of Tavlin, but rather Agav the Chalye. The mixture itself is sweet because it's made out of different peras, as we'll see later on. So because of that, it will be mavatel, the meriros of the morar. And that will ruin the morar for you because be'inan tam morar v'leka. Morar has to have the taste in it of merirut. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to taste the merirut, as we'll see. But it does have to have the taste in it of merirut to be called morar. That we're going to be talking about in a moment. Now, Rav Chisda once had Rabbana Ukva, who came for a visit, and even though Rav Chisda was the Rashiva, and he would normally give the drasha, but since he wanted to be Mechabed Rabbana Ukva, so Adabre Rav Chisda Rabbana Ukva, he pushed him up to the front, and he made him speak. So Mar Ukva was Dorash. Nota Yadav Betibul Rishon, Notel Yadav Betibul Sheni. If you washed your hands for the original, like Rav Hoshaya said to do, you still are going to need to do a second Netilas Yadayim to be able to eat the morar when it's time to eat the morar. Now, this is a little bit of a weird kind of halacha, because if they're two completely different types of Netilot, isn't that sort of obvious? Because Lamaisa, one would be for the din of Netilas Yadayim, and the other one wouldn't be for Netilas Yadayim, according to Tosfos, right? The way that the Gemara is phrasing this is mashma, that the Netilas Yadayim for the Peirot is the same halacha of Netilas Yadayim that you're going to be doing for the bread later, which is when it Because obviously you don't really do Netilas Yadayim for the Maror, because you ate the Maror after doing Netilas Yadayim for the Matzah. There's no separate Netilas Yadayim after doing Netilas Yadayim for the Matzah. That's crazy. So asks Tosus on himself, that's weird, because I just explained that the original Netilas Yadayim that you did for the wet hands has nothing to do with the Netilas Yadayim that you're doing on Lechem, because one is for one purpose and one is for another purpose. I mean, remember, the Netila Rishona is not a Netila of Kedusha. It's a Netila of making sure you're not Metame something, which, according to Tosus, is not part of the original Takana of Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvah. There's no Kedusha involved in the Taira of Mashkim. Not like the Rishonim and not like the Gra, who say that there was all one Gezerah. Do not eat something that would be, if it were truma, would be a pagam in being destroying the truma. So that's true, even if it's chulin. And this chulin could be makabel truma, therefore treat it like truma. Fine. But according to Tosus, he asks on himself, I mean, is it sort of obvious that you're going to have to make a separate netila for the real netila shadayim? Says Tosus, well, yes, but not necessarily. Because you might have thought that since you did that netila, even though you didn't have in mind to do it for Kedusha, but if you did it correctly, since we're talking about chulin over here, and chulin does not require kavana, so therefore it already achieved, without your meaning to, but it already achieved the netilas yadayim for the pot later. So therefore, we're clarifying, no, you still need to have a second netila when you come to eat the matzah, even though you washed before. So we're not sure why that would be true. So Agur Rabbanan Kameder Rav Papa, and the Rabbanan who said over the drosha to Rav Papa, they say, well, he must have meant not at the Seder, he must have meant at a regular meal. So at a regular meal, it was not your intention to wash your hands twice. I mean, you weren't going to dip again later on in the meal. So I'm not going to be eating two different courses, which require tibul. But I mean, how could he have been referring to the Seder? I mean, why would I need Netilat Yadayim Trei Zimne if we're talking about Hacha, we're talking about the Seder Shel Pesach? Didn't he already did the Netila? And what would be the point of doing the Netila again? You knew at the time that you did the original Netila. You knew 100% that you were going to need a Netila later. So why the heck would you need to do a second Netila later on? Now, again, I just want to point out to you that this is also very tricky, according to Tosfos, right? Because, I mean, a normal person who is making the netila, even though he knows he's going to be eating matzah later on, remember, according to Tosus, when the guy is doing his original netila, he does not have in mind to do the netila for the bread. So, of course, he'll need to do the netila later. I mean, what Tosus is doing is making an assumption that the guy's an Amoritz, and as far as he knows, as soon as you put water on your hands, yeah, well, of course, I mean that for the bread, too. It's really a little bit strange, according to Tosfos. The whole thing, just the whole conversation in the Gemara, makes much more sense if there are a dinim, real dinim of the Netilas Yadayim on Peiros, and you say, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu, like the Gra says, and like Tosfos himself brings, was the Nusach in all of the old Haggadahs that he had, was that you make a bracha at the time that you do that original Netila. The only reason why we wouldn't is because we don't during the year. So there's no reason to do it more here at the Seder than any other time. So if you're going to be makbid on a Suffolk bracha all year long, if you are washing your hands for fruit, and please do get into this habit. Wash your hands as if for hamotzi, if your hands are wet and you're going to be eating any kind of food with wet hands, or if the food itself is wet. Okay, so therefore, the easiest way of learning the Gemara is, again, the simple way. Okay, so they told Rav Papa, okay, so the guy knew he was going to be eating again. So when he washed his hands, why wasn't he yotze for the second netila? Omar lo Rav Papa. So Rav Papa set the Talmidim straight. And Rav Papa said, you guys are so confused. It's exactly the opposite. On a normal night, you would not need the second netila. It's only on Pesach that you need the second netila. Amala Rav Papa Adarabba, it's just the opposite. Acha Itmar. What Rav Hoshaya was saying, what we said over here, Maruk Vamin was saying, was Davka on Pesach. The Benogea, Karpas, and then the second Nitila for the Matzah and the Morah. Because Isaac, if you're going to tell me he's talking at a normal meal, I mean, if the fact is that you're going to be eating, why in the world would you be Mesalik Das from your Achila? Lomali Tre Tivule. Okay, so why here? Elamai, Achay Itmar. What's the point of Netilat Yadayim twice? Hamashala Yadei Chadazimna. So they explained what Rav Papa meant. Amri, Kivan Deboi Lameimer Agadata VeHelila. I mean, it's a really long time is going to be passing, unfortunately, as your stomach growlings will remind you, between the time that you did the Karpas and you're getting around to doing the Achilas Matzah Umorah. So we are concerned, Dilma Sukhya Sakhla Daita Vinaga. I mean, how long are you going to be able to maintain your concentration on your fingers that we just said are going moving all over the place? I dare you not to touch your face during that period with COVID, right? You will touch your face. So who knows what else you're going to touch? So therefore, because of that, he's saying that is too long. That's called Esach HaDaat. And because of that, you're going to have to wash your hands again. Omar Rava, if you swallowed matzah without chewing it, you would still be yotze. Why? Because there's no chiyuv of getting the taste of that matzah. There's only a chiyuv to eat matzah, and that is an act of eating, and the chewing is not absolutely essential. However, if you swallowed the morar, then you were not yotze, because morar is not just about eating. Morar is about tasting. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, this is not 100% clear, because Rashi's girsa is the same thing. Bola moror yotza. So he holds the moror has to have a taste of moror in it. And otherwise you're not yotze. But you do not have to be the one who tastes the taste of that moror as long as you ate the moror with the tam of mariris in it. Okay, that is Rashi's idiosyncratic approach to the sugya. It's with a different girsa, obviously. So he has bola moror yotza. How about if you ate matzah and morar together? Now, it doesn't mean you chewed it together. You swallowed it together. Now, in this case, what happens is that the lettuce acts like a wrapper to the matzah. So in that case, yedei matzah yatsa, because it is not considered to be a violation of eating norms, to be eating one thing together with another thing, which may prevent it from coming in contact with your palate. You see, there's two issues over here. Up until now, we only discussed the first issue was if you don't taste the matzah because you swallowed it. If you would wrap the matzah in plastic, you would not be yotze, as we'll see in a minute. Why? Because that's not considered to be the correct way to eat. It's not the norm of achila. But the question over here is to wrap a piece of matzah in lettuce. That type of thing happens during the act of achila. That is considered to be the derech of achila. And so because of that, the matzah you would be yotze. But since we hold you have to chew the morar in order for that, the morar you would not be yotze. But that means that we're telling you two chidushim over here. Before we only told you don't have to taste the matzah. Now we're telling you it doesn't even have to come into contact with your palate at all. And it could be wrapped around with a piece of lettuce. So because of that, it's simply a question over here of derech achila. But suppose you would wrap them in plastic or celluloid. Where do they have celluloid? From sieve, which grew around the bottom of our favorite palm trees. So if you wrap them in sieve and then you swallow them, then af yedei matzah nami lo yatza. You wouldn't even be yotze the matzah, because that is not considered to be the derech of achila. Omrib Shimi Barashi, as far as how to set up the Seder, we should put matzah in front of every one of the people at the Seder, and we should put morar in front of everyone at the Seder, and we should put charoset in front of everyone at the Seder. But when it comes to akirat hashulchan, we're only going to be oker the shulchan lifnei misha omer haggadah. Now, this bears a little bit of explaining. You remember that we said before that Tosfos understood the words in the Mishnah, haviu lefanav, meant they bring the table, because those were the little serving tables that Rabbanea was so kind to send us the pictures of. Then when it said the second time, haviu lefanav, so Tosfos says, yes, that's being merames, that we had taken away the table, and now we have to bring the table back. And then that would be what we're referring to over here, and that would mean the private tables. So they used to take away the table, and that was in order to get the kids to start shouting, hey, wait a minute, we didn't even eat yet. Hey, come back here, you stupid New York waiter. And that would mean that that would get the tinokot to ask, as we're about to see. So what this also would mean is that if what the norm was, and I really believe still should be, that one person says the Haggadah to everybody else, and then he gives out the matzah and the mor and so on and so forth, but that's only if you're all sitting at one table. If, l'maisa, everybody's got separate tables, even though normally when we're talking about a birchas hanenin, we're not makbid on this, and you can give, let's say you're making kiddush, you can hand out to people all around in the kiddush, you can hand out the wine. But that's because it's a birchas hanenin, and we're not concerned, as long as the person who made the bracha wasn't mafzik, we're not concerned that it may take you some time between the time you said amen till the time that you drink. But over here, the brachas that we're going to be making on the matzah and the marah are birchas hamitzvahs, and there's not supposed to be a hefzik between them. Therefore, we don't want the guy who is leading the Seder to be sending matzah and mor down all the way down to the other side of the room where everybody's sitting on their couches with their little tables. And therefore, every table should be given whatever is necessary for the tzorchei hamitzvah. Now, lemaisa, even though we do not do akirat ha-shulchan, because as Tosfos says over here, Akirat HaShulchan, can you imagine picking up our Shulchanot, which is enough space for 12, 20 people to be sitting on? Of course we don't do that. So what we do instead is we remove this Seder plate to get the kids to ask what's going on. So we pretend that we're clearing the table. Okay, so that could also trigger the same kind of question as Akirat HaShulchan. However, there is a tremendous, in practical terms, a tremendous delay in getting the matzah and the maror to people, especially with the concern of getting the right size, and everybody needs the right size. Therefore, this inyan of matzah bifnei kol echad v'yechad and maror bifnei kol echad v'yechad is extremely important bizman hazeh as well, because of the way that halacha has become so obsessive and people have become so obsessive, it could take 20 minutes to get everybody their matzah. Therefore, the thing to do, halacha l'maisa, which many of the Achronim point out, and which I do on Erev Pesach at great pain, I must tell you, it takes hours, is to get everyone a set wrapped in plastic of their particular matzah, their particular morer, their particular matzah morer again for Korech, each according to the size that is best for that individual. Mark it and make sure that it is there in front of the person, or that at least it's in a box ready to hand out, and everybody gets what it is that's meant for them. It takes a long time, but it's well worth it. And it's based essentially on this halacha. Rav Huna says, well, kulu nami lifnei misha omer haggadah. I don't think it's so bad, says Rav Huna. Even though it's birchas hamitzvah, I don't think it's so bad if the one who's leading, if he does it, and then afterwards he hands it out. And that is the halacha lamaisa, that it's not absolutely necessary, of course, as we see. Lama okrinat ha-shulchan, why in the world do we do akirat ha-shulchan? Now that you mentioned it, well, we do that because we want the kids to ask, ki yishalcha bincha. And in fact, Abaya, when he was a little boy, when he was, remember that he was raised by Rabbah, so there he was at the Seder table, and he sees that the waiters are taking away the table. They're taking the table away from Rabbi. He starts shouting, hey, 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 we haven't eaten yet. What the heck? Come back here. You guys are nuts. Rabbi says, yay. He just pattered it from saying manishtana, because that's the manishtana, basically. Patartan milomar manishtana. You, Baruch Hashem, you pattered us. Now there's a big question over here. Does that mean that any question is patters us from saying the Manishtana? Doesn't it have to be at least one of the four questions or something to do with the four questions? Tosfos Hashita is that Manishtana is a specific list of questions, and that when it says patatan milomar Manishtana, it doesn't mean that. It means that once he started asking, so then we started answering and saying, yeah, there's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on tonight, and that way we've triggered the Manishtana. You must admit that's a little bit forced in the Gemara. So, I mean, the question is, does Manishtana have a particular content? We're going to be talking about this later on as well.